Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
A party I want to go to.
Party at the Leper Colony.
Oh yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all of you. In the room, it's another Sausage Fest, which means we got Steve Silva.
Yes, we do.
Producer Zach.
Hey now.
And intern Christopher.
Hi there.
And I am Sean Robertson. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. We are the only podcast who continue the radio traditions of Mark and Brian. If you miss them as much as we do, then you tuned in to the right show.
But if you're also looking for a podcast that's fun, interactive, and that you can be a part of every week, like a, I don't know, family reunion or getting together with your friends at a bar, then this podcast is also for you. And for those who have recently found us, thank you so much. We are glad you're here. If you'd like to be a part of our show today and join the conversation, maybe, I don't know, even play the game towards the end of it, our phone numbers are 714-927-1866. Again, that's 714-927-1866 or 213-928-2885. That's 213-928-2885, and intern Christopher is standing by. And we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. Let's see what we got going on. Well, we got 10:15. We got movie reviews with our good friend Paul Preston from the Movie Guys. We're also celebrating National Strawberry Day. We're going to be talking about the most trusted celebrities. Today's also Retro Day, so we'll be talking about things that maybe we remember as kids.
You know, like jarts.
Exactly. And we also got a pocket-sized cinema and what's news later on in the show.
Besides calling in, you can also interact with the show several ways. You can comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose, or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And you can always download the show for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell the world what you think of us, so please rate and review the show. Today's theme song is Party at the Leper Colony by Weird Al Yankovic. And we got a little bit of a contest going on today. So if you guys can guess why we're playing this as our theme song, we're going to give you a prize. So just make sure you either comment on our Facebook page or our Twitter account, and we'll get you that prize. As simple as that.
A prize.
Mm-hmm. Easy as pie.
All right.
It's a good little blues jam, too. I like it. So. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and catch up with each other.
No singing in the background. That's weird.
It's kind of
like a cave.
Da-da. We're missing something.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
La, 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 la. Yeah, Amber's out today. She's not feeling too well. She's got her allergies going on, and she's trying to take antibiotics to help correct everything, and then she's starting the female cycle of Aunt Flo being in town, so poor thing, she's not feeling too well at all, so, you know.
She's probably just laying there face down into the carpet.
Going, kill me.
She probably stubbed another toe and broke another kidney.
Hopefully she just hasn't slipped on the floor like she did last week.
and not break another kidney.
And not break another anything. Yeah, exactly. So
you can't really break a kidney.
True, true. You can flatten it and squish it.
And bruise it.
Yeah, you can bruise it. That's for sure. Anyway, Steve, how was your week, though, bud?
It was great. Rode my bike to the park a few times. And I eat lunch in the park. Just sit and relax outdoors because the weather was halfway decent.
It was. It was a good week this week here in Southern California.
Yeah. And did a little writing, and that's about it.
Cool. Mm-hmm. How about you, Zach? What was your week like?
I almost dropped my class.
Why?
I'm not going to. I just got frustrated because there was a lot of material to cover that I missed. I don't know. I must have, I don't know what I did, but I fell behind and I failed one of my tests and I lost like half my grade. Ooh. And I'm just going like, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I want to do this class because it's just, it's not what I thought it was going to be.
Which class is it again?
Introduction to the Middle East.
Oh,
I thought it was going to be a little more about like present day stuff, but we're going back to like biblical times. And I hate to say this, and don't, and I know everyone's going to say, oh, it's such an excuse, but there's a lot of names that I can't even pronounce, and it's harder to try and memorize names for quizzes and essays when you can't really retain their name very well. No offense.
Right.
It's just a little difficult for someone like me.
Yeah. No, I mean, especially if you're going back to that certain time period or anything like that. I mean, yeah, it's going to be a little bit tougher, and if you are going back to biblical times to find out where the three major religions came from, because they all came from
That's where this is.
Yeah, same territory and so forth. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit tough.
I really got to read. I really got to read the disclaimers on some of these courses.
Well, to me, I mean, I would. I mean, this is just me talking though. But if it was something about, you know, Introduction to the Middle East, I would think they would take it from the beginning, so that way you have an understanding of what's going on today.
It does say introduction.
Yeah.
Does it say middle of?
Right. Or today's.
You know what? I take it back. I have no excuse. It says introduction in the title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to keep on trying to make up for everything and just get myself back up, because this is the last class I need, and I'm done with my GED for my AA degree.
Okay. Now, if you don't do well, is there another class that could substitute for this, though?
Not at this point. What do you mean, like change classes now?
No. Like let's say.
Oh yeah. There's a whole laundry list of different classes. I just picked this one because for some reason I thought it'd be interesting, something different. It's definitely all of those, just not what I wanted.
You just can't retain certain things.
I can't. And the book is very, the way it's written is, well, on college levels. I just feel silly for saying that, but.
Because you're going to college.
Yeah. But this seems like more for advanced students that have been in this course for a while. Because there's a lot
even
of words.
It's an introduction.
Yeah, I know it is. But like I say, the content of the course, it feels like it should be in a higher standard a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of nouns that are in different, you know, in Hebrew and Arabic that they use to describe certain things that it's, you know, I can't even pronounce.
Versus love.
Yeah. I mean, things that rhyme with that.
Yeah.
So, again, to write that down and know that, and then, you know, try to memorize names of, you know, important figures at the same time is just, it's difficult.
It's hard to retain some of that stuff, too.
Yeah.
And I think I know one thing, too, is that as we get older as people in general, it's also hard to retain that stuff when you do try to go back to school. So, yeah, it is tough, man. It is tough.
I'll figure it out. Worst case scenario, if I lose a semester, it's like, all right, I just got one freaking class left.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just say
You'll get it done.
I will, and we'll just call that a vacation.
There you go.
If for whatever reason decide
and
to.
And I always say this, though, and this is something I always tell my son. As long as you put in 100% effort into it, even if you fail the class, you still learned something.
You have told me that before.
Yeah. And that's also kind of true. It really is. You know, it's just that you're having trouble retaining certain things or whatever. So, and that's fine. I've got trouble retaining certain things, too.
Sean may not be the hero we need, but he's the one we need right now.
So, all right. Well, I hope your week gets better than for you, Zach.
It'll be fine. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. I'd rather be dealing with this than what I was dealing with math last semester.
That's true. Oh, boy, you were struggling with the math last time.
I was not doing well, but that's fine now.
Two plus two is four. four.
He's gonna turn his. Oh, what's that? His mic's going down.
Hello?
It's very strange.
Actually.
Hello.
I think what he really needed was Schoolhouse Rock.
There you go.
You know.
Play that for him after the show.
Yeah, right. Three's the magic number. Yeah. You know, something.
Hey,
like
look,
that.
A window to jump out of.
And we're on the second story. All right.
That
and of course,
is inevitable.
Old Sesame Street numbers go through all the numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They,
yeah. So, well, my week was a little bit busy. So, handing out some resumes, trying to look for a new job, basically, because I'm kind of towards the tail end of my help from the government. So I'm trying to look for something that will be very prosperous. It's a little tough out there right now, but I've got some good prospects going on, mainly in the video world and editing world. So we'll see how that goes. Waiting to hear some callbacks. But then, let's see, last Sunday, we did the open mic over at Lucky John's. And it was a little bit quiet. Not too many people showed up. Started a little bit later. So it was kind of like, okay. I think people were worried because here in Southern California, it was real windy. So we were getting a lot of big gusts and everything, so they were very afraid. Because the owner put actually over a canopy, and it blew the canopy away on Saturday.
Oh, nothing worse than a spilled canopy.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then Wednesday night, you and I went out to another open mic. No, I got it. I'm just fucking ignoring it is what I'm doing. I'm moving on with the story is what
it
is.
Oh, okay.
But then Wednesday night, you and I went to another open mic.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
So, and that wasn't too bad. We had a good time there.
Yeah.
And then tonight, I'm going to be doing something actually near Zach's place, basically.
Hi.
So, got that. And then tomorrow again, we're doing another open mic over at Lucky John's. So,
that's right.
Pretty busy of a week, I think.
Stuff happening.
Stuff going on, which is good. Things are starting to slowly open up.
What's the kid doing?
What is the kid doing? I don't know.
Not a clue.
No. Oh, and then yesterday, too, I celebrated 21 years of marriage. So that was nice. Yeah.
Wow, that's three times longer than my first marriage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so Karen and I celebrate 21 years. So very proud, very happy overall.
Overall.
It's been good. It's a good run. I like it.
At least you're still running on the same track.
We are. You know, and it's funny because, you know, who would have thought we would have lasted this long, but we have, and we've been together actually 27 years total, or 28 years, I think. So, and, you know, who would have thought that a blind date would end up this way? Seriously.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
congratulations.
So, it's happened, it's worked out, and, you know, got a 16-year-old because of it. So, yeah. Yeah, so we went to Outback Steakhouse last night and had some.
Oh, I like
nice,
it.
I saw that.
Nice steak there and some margaritas.
Mm-hmm. Margaritas. Mm. We had that.
Well, you guys were able to sit inside?
No, nobody was allowed inside.
Oh, okay. The pictures looked like they were inside for a second.
No, they actually had it outside. They set up two tents, but then they also have like a decking that kind of goes halfway around the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So they put tables out on the decking, and then they also had two very large tents out there with heating units.
Oh, okay.
For those people. So, and then.
Did it have a cover, or was it just the plastic walls around the area?
The plastic walls around, and then so where we were sitting out on the decking, though, it was strictly just straight open. But they had those, the heaters
right.
underneath. And then the tents, though, had a different kind of air heater in there. It was kind of unique. So, because it wasn't like the tall ones that you normally see.
Right.
So, but they're still pushing hot air through. So, it's kind of nice.
Kind of like all of us at times.
Yes. Always pushing the hot air. Exactly. So, but yeah, so it was nice. So, good to celebrate it. You know what else is good to celebrate?
What would that be?
Movies. Da, 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 da. And, of course, as always, we go to the expert of the movies, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Paul Preston.
No. Yes, hello.
The omen.
You.
How you doing, Paul?
Well, so much has happened on this show already today. First of all, I have a question I've always wanted to ask.
Yeah.
What is that, what we do this week music? It's a 70s TV show.
Yes. It's a theme from soap.
One of my favorite shows. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I've seen a couple seasons of that. I got them on DVD just, you know, like 10 years ago.
Oh my God, you're
like
a grandpa.
You never watch them again. Now, of course.
It's got DVDs.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, and then Sean played dad to Zach. That was fun. You deep cutted Weird Al at the start of the show.
Mm.
And today is National Strawberry Day. Is that true?
It's all about quality on this show, Paul.
Like today, like this day.
Yes.
Not tomorrow, today.
I'll tell you a little something I'm doing today. I'm going to the Rose Bowl for Fair Foodie Fest. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. All these, like, changing our plans.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All these trucks that would go to the, like, the county fairs, which of course didn't happen, are going to the parking lot, and you can drive through, eat all the fair food that they normally serve. Oh. It's free to get in. You just have to register, and they give you a funnel cake just for registering, but then you got to pay for each thing. But it's all that stuff you enjoy eating at the fair, like a deep fried Oreo and turkey legs and all that stuff.
They did something like that a few months back over at the at Anaheim Stadium, and we got to do that. And you just drive through and you pull up and they take your order, you know, from all the different trucks and stuff.
I remember that. You guys did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when you got
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, you're going to love it. Take a lot of money, Paul.
Well, you focused me, too. Whatever's got strawberries, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Well, you, and then, of course, you talked about Amber's flow. Does this happen regularly? I mean, does she mark this up?
And flow comes in about, I don't know, once a month to check on her.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty consistent.
That's about right.
To make sure she's okay. You know, sometimes it's a week later. Sometimes she comes in a week earlier. You know, it just depends. But on an average, every 4 weeks, you know, once a month, that Flo decides to check on Amber, see how she's doing.
And you guys talk about it. It's just like Mark and Brian did.
Exactly, yeah, we do. Yes.
We wish she was here so she could talk about it.
Yeah, because, you know, she loves talking about her VJJ all the time, so. So, real quick, we got to say this, though, because we're close friends.
Yeah.
So sorry to hear about Dr. Marvin.
Yes, my dog of 16 years passed away this week. I figure 16 is a pretty good run. And, you know, I had him for 10 of those. We rescued him. And so I wanted to be around as long as I can. But, you know, I had to make that call after a while when it was like the time that he is here is no longer of great quality. And he had a... It was a corgi, so you know those back and hip issues you hear about with corgis. Yeah. The previous corgi I had was not a problem. But this, Dr. Marvin had caught up with him starting last December. And so that's 3 months of it just getting worse and worse. And finally he had to go, look, you're not enjoying it. But for him to be here for a year after my wife passed away, and it was just like him doing me a good thing. So again, I could only do everything. You know, if I picked up pile of crap around the house, it's like, well, first world problems. This dog is like my hero, so I wanted to keep him around. But he has exit. Well, if you want to meet the dog, go to paulandthedoctor.com, where I'll be uploading more of the wacky videos he and I made. We made like 60 some videos. You should just put them on Facebook. Now I'm gonna stick them all on YouTube. There's only like two or three up there now, introductory ones as to who he is and our crazy relationship, where he acts like he hates me all the time. I was gonna say
that's my favorite part, is when he snaps at you.
Yeah,
because I love it when you run.
Yes, his attitude was hate the thing and then figure out if I hate the thing or not.
Right.
There you go.
I remember the first time I saw him snap at you, I could not stop laughing at your reaction. It was so good. Yeah, because just like, oh, geez, okay, all right, he's done.
So at paulandthedoctor.com, I'm going to upload more videos. There's only, like I said, a couple, but now that he's passed, like, I owe it to him to throw all those up there because he's like a web series star.
He is.
Yeah, we did movie reenactments. We did holiday events. We did all sorts of crazy. We celebrated his birthday. There's all sorts of weird stuff I did with my dog. So
I have a question about him. Did he always have the missing eye?
No, and here's a lesson everyone can take from this. Zach, I'm going to be your dad now. Here's a lesson for you, Zach.
All right, Daddy Paul. Paul Daddy.
He lost his eye in 2016, and it wasn't, you know, you should see the other dog, that wasn't it. It was actually, it stopped making tears, which is just crazy. So, and then eventually it had to be taken out. We tried everything. You know, I tried ointments, and I tried all this stuff. He had to give him an ointment like every 4 hours.
Oh,
like,
no.
Awake or asleep, you were given it, and he had a cone at the time. He was just miserable. Took the eye out, and based on the doctor's recommendation, and he's like, all right, that's how this is now. Where's the mailman? I'm going to bite him. You know, so like he didn't wallow. He didn't feel bad for himself. So humans take a cue.
He just tended to walk to the right.
Well, I never trusted him again. But yeah, so take a cue. Don't feel bad for yourself. Just adapt to the new situation and get on with your life. That's what you did.
I do have a question for you, Paul, from a listener. I know this is a little bit past the time period and everything, but listener Denise was asking, we forgot to ask you last time you were on, but with Warner Brothers making their second Wonder Woman movie and how it went straight to streaming and everything, did they realize that they were making that bad of a movie?
Well, here's the thing. If you have a bad movie on your hands, you're going to do whatever you can to hype it up. Like, they're going to announce, hey, we've greenlit number 3 already before this one even came out. Hey, everybody's going to get to see this one at once. You know, so it's like, and then you see it, and you're like, well, this is crap. I can see why they roped people into watching it. So, yeah, I think that's the deal. Is expect more, you know, like when Rian Johnson puts up The Last Jedi, hey, he's going to make 3 more of these. He hasn't.
Right.
You know, cut to Ron Howard. He hasn't. So... yeah, it's. I think when the more stuff they add to a movie's release, the more nonsense and press and blowhard, you know, chatter, the worse the movie is.
Yeah, and
if
not
it just
not the,
comes out and speaks for itself.
And speaking from, and still speaking from the superhero point of view, it's like Warner Brothers still hasn't seemed to figure anything out yet for their superheroes, where it seems that Disney and Marvel are still producing things like WandaVision right now.
Okay, yeah, I posted something about WandaVision too. I mean, WandaVision, first of all, to focus your TV show on a superhero's pain is extraordinary. And not like superficially like they do with, oh, Superman's hurt or whatever, but like to really delve into why Wanda is tortured. And, you know, and then when Vision sits down next to her and says, you know, what is grief if not love persevering? I'm like, this is Marvel elevating the genre miles above its standard. You know, it's so impressive what they do. And this Justice League Snyder cut, guys, it's not going to save the DCEU. You're doubling down on the thing that wasn't great.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, can we get more Jar Jar? Maybe that would help save Star Wars. No, you got to go a new direction. And sadly, I don't think Snyder's it. We're going to get more CGI nonsense, more pulverizing fights with no emotional backbone. I think Marvel's just leagues ahead of everybody else. I mean, I still demand Kevin Feige get an Oscar. If you give an Oscar to Peter Jackson for making 3 Lord of the Rings movies, this dude made like 23 Avengers movies where the last one tied into the first one over 11, 12 years. I mean, just it's stupid. If Lasseter got an Oscar just because he made Toy Story and it was groundbreaking, I mean, come on, Feige, what he has done, groundbreaking.
What do you think Warner Brothers' problem is that they can't figure out?
I don't know. Because they figured it out with Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it's the team, I guess. I mean, right now they're talking about rebooting Superman with J.J. Abrams.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. That's a thing?
That's a thing. Yeah, well,
oh, come on.
Yesterday. I mean, whether Cavill returns or not, I don't know, but they want to. JJ producing. They listed a writer in there who I didn't recognize, but it's like, maybe a new writer who we haven't heard of might be a good thing, you know?
Because at least I know there's still the Warner Brothers side with animation.
Well, they kill it.
And yeah, and I mean, they're just dominating that whole thing and taking the storyline straight from the comics and putting it on, you know, computer animation or whatever, and they're just doing a one hell of a job. And why they can't do the live action in the same manner is beyond me.
Yeah, I don't know. But you're right. Batman versus Robin, Flashpoint Paradox.
Oh, God, that was great. So good.
So good. Hush is good.
Yes.
Yeah, there's so many good animated movies in the kid. Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't know what it is. It's an intangible.
Like, you know, I got a theory, actually.
What's that?
Well, I wonder if the reason why the DC movies are so good is because, well, number one, most of them have to deal with Batman. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them. And you had the Batman animated series in the 90s. It kind of was like a blueprint. You know, that series ran for a long, long time, and they did a lot of characters in that animated series that I never even heard of. And to this day, I still have, like, never really seen him in anything else.
Like which characters?
I'm trying to think of, like, what's the one with the puppet?
Oh, the ventriloquist?
Yeah.
He's in the comics.
No, not the comics, like in anything else outside of the animated series. Like, I've never seen that in, like, in a Batman animated movie or
no,
something.
It's mainly because he's more of a Batman character.
Oh, okay, but
yeah,
that's what I'm saying is I think the animated series really kind of helped pave the way for Warner Brothers and DC animated movies.
Yep, I agree, and they should pave the way for live action too. But yeah, they're not to have, they just adapted. The comics are storyboarded already, people. Come on. There's your storyboard.
I could hear Paul's eye twitching as he gets.
Yeah.
Guys, what the stroke? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, just because I love Marvel so much, I'd like to see Batman return to greatness again. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, even getting Batman's origin story again in Joker, I was like, do we have to go in this alley and see all this again? I mean, we've seen it 100 times. You know that. Again, the MCU just does everything right. We get reintroduced to Spider-Man in 2016 with Captain America Civil War, and then, of course, the 2 Avengers movies and the 2 Spider-Man solo movies. Has Uncle Ben died again? No, we get it. He's Spider-Man. He's fighting crime, and then he's got a new adventure.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But I mean at least with Marvel, though, they did it in a different way. Because, I mean, you had the original ones with Tobey Maguire. And then you have the Amazing Spider-Man with that other guy.
Andrew Garfield.
You know? And, I mean, why they retold the story all over again is beyond me. I thought that was just really, really dumb.
And bring it back into the MCU, give it to Feige, and it all gets handled well again. Of course, now you've heard about this rumor. I've heard it shot down, unfortunately, recently. But you never know that they were going to do a multiverse thing like they did with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was brilliant.
That animated. Is happening. Yeah. That is still happening.
I hope so, because
if you go on imdb.com right now and you look at it, it says Alfred Molina, you know, for Doc Ock. It says, what's his name, Jamie Foxx is Electro. Those are the only two that have been revealed, and it says filming. So it's a done deal. Now, whether or not it's going to have Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, that's yet to be seen. I don't think we're going to find that out until at least a trailer or the actual, probably a trailer.
That would be interesting if they do that, though.
What they're probably
going to
do.
Because, I mean, it's like going back to WandaVision, they brought back the actor who played, was it Quicksilver,
mm-hmm.
but from the X-Men.
Because that was Fox. Fox owned X-Men.
Right. Versus.
Now they can do that.
Versus having the original actor that they did in Age of Ultron.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I thought that was really smart to do that type of thing.
And that's
also
exactly what Sony and Marvel, and Paul, I know you agree with me, that Sony and Marvel are doing. Because Sony owns Spider-Man. So it's like, it's kind of like DC or Warner Brothers owning Batman. They get all the Batman characters, all they want. So that's why you got movies like Venom that came out a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now Venom technically can go into the MCU if he wanted to,
right?
Because they've made a little deal. So if they can use Spider-Man from the Sony version and the Marvel ones, and they can do this, you know, cross universe thing, there you go. Now you got a plot.
And of course, when the X-Men get into the Disney fold because of Disney's purchase of 20th Century Fox, you think to yourself, okay, well, how are the now all these X-Men can show up in the MCU. So how does it happen? Yeah, first with Evan Peters' version of Pietro Maximoff in WandaVision in a sort of head-trippy way. That's just the right way to do it.
Yeah.
It's just the right way. We're coming and kick ass. It's like we bring it into this whole head-trippy recasting. They do everything right.
And I think that's why everybody loves WandaVision, because that's the first time we've seen that concept be done.
Right.
And so now that it's being done, everyone's mind is opening up going like, oh, this is how Doctor Strange 2 is going to go. This is how the multiverse is going to go. You know, and it's actually pretty cool. So again, like Paul says, you know, hats off to Marvel. They just know how to do it.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
Boy, we're
job.
Super nerdy.
Yes, we are. Welcome to the Nerd Show. And Steve's just in the corner.
Hang on. I got
There
you go.
What?
Before
wait,
you go.
Can I have one more, please?
No, anyway, next one might kill him.
Anyway, had sex this morning. You guys?
Is my nose bleeding? Yours is.
Yeah, I got tagged big time.
Boy, that was a tag.
Yeah. Paul, before you go, anything that we should be keeping our eyes out for or watching on Netflix or any of the streaming services this coming month?
Yes. Yeah, I got a couple quick reviews for you. Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. You might have seen posters for this coming to the theaters. Well, they bagged it after delaying it like a year and put it out for VOD. This is a new Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumolo movie, the writers of Bridesmaids. And now Annie, not just a writer, she's the co-star with Kristen as two ladies from Nebraska in their 40s working at Jennifer Convertibles. Yes, they're out of touch. Their jobs disappear, their men disappear, and they go to an adventure in Vista Del Mar, Florida for vacation. And you can't just say Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. You got to go, Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar, because that's how they talk in the movie. It's super funny. This is a very funny movie, and you know, but what I told you is pretty much everything you need to know for like a real world story. Everything else, the movie quickly slides into like unabashed absurdism. There's like a Dr. Evil type villain plotting revenge on Vista Del Mar, Florida. There's talking animals. There's musical numbers. The sky's the limit. And somehow it all works. You know, a lot of movies could throw everything including the kitchen sink into a comedy. And maybe you think like, oh, it's gotten out of control. The styles are conflicting or it doesn't know what it wants to be. But these guys it's just so consistently funny that it's a real good film. And it's a real break from all the award stuff, which is super depressing. Like everything's depressing from Gitmo to dementia to, you know, rape and to all this. Like these two are just super funny. And it doesn't shoot as high as something like Palm Springs, which I thought was a bit of a masterpiece. But for sheer joke volume, it's good. It's like $20 because they wanted to obviously put it in theaters. But if there's, you know, two or three of you watching, it's $10 a piece. That's like going to the drive-in. And I didn't find it at the drive-in, which was a shame. So I did watch it at home on Amazon. But Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar.
All right.
And Wiig also plays Kristen Wiig also plays the arch villain, much like Mike Myers did.
Oh, wow.
Boston and Dr. Evil. So she hams it up, and it's really funny.
Nice.
Oh, and the other one I want to mention real quick is because of sort of slides into what we were talking about with Spider-Man and the Russo brothers. I mentioned this briefly last time. It's called Cherry. It's in theaters now, coming to Apple TV Plus March 12th, I think. This is the Russo brothers who made the best Avengers movies, Winter Soldier, Civil War, Endgame, Infinity War. But it's a hero-less movie. It's about a guy who enlists in the army because he's kind of got a meandering life and just ends up going there, and then you find out the fall from grace a veteran can have when he's consumed the PTSD, depression, post-war drugs, and he eventually gets into bank robberies. And it's epic in all the ways the Russos made an Avengers movie, but of course in all different ways that drama can go. And I'm shocked, but there are bad reviews for this movie, and I don't get it. To me, it's not unlike Barb and Star in that they threw a lot at the movie. But if anyone can handle a lot, I mean, if you saw Endgame's three-hour magnum opus, they just handled all that content like it was nothing, like it was a half-hour, like a 20-minute sitcom. So these guys are just no joke. The Russos are great. And, of course, Tom Holland, if you ever saw The Impossible when he was a young kid, I knew right away this guy's amazing. He's going to be talked about for years, and sure enough, as an adult now, as Spider-Man, he's somebody to be reckoned with. And greatness is just his routine, because this year he did the movie Cherry and then The Devil All the Time, which if you haven't seen it on Netflix, is a badass movie.
I heard that was really good.
Yeah, really good. Cool. So yeah, cool, that's got everything. There's your two movies to watch, and then, of course, the Golden Globes tomorrow, which should be fun.
Oh, really? Golden tomorrow. All right. Well, what channel?
Hopefully by the next time. It's on NBC. Hopefully the next time we talk, though, will the Oscar nominations will be out. We can just pick those over.
Oh, that'd be so good. Can't wait to talk about that. All right, brother. Well, in the meantime, you have a wonderful weekend, and we will catch you next time, my friend.
Yeah, I got a Magic the Gathering to go to. We're playing this afternoon with our cards, so we're very busy. Play with the nerdyism.
Uh-oh, we've lost Paul.
We've lost Paul a long time ago, which is great, which is why he fits in so well with us. All right, buddy. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Paul. Bye.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I still can't figure out why Warner Brothers on the live-action side still cannot get things straight. It just amazes. I think there's just probably too many cooks on that side.
At this point.
Yeah, where I think the animation side, they've got the formula. They know they're putting certain people in charge for certain storylines or whatever and going, okay, do your job. And they go out and they do it and it works out well.
See, I think the problem ultimately was when Man of Steel got made in 2013, I don't think they were intending on making a universe after that movie. They were just going to do that movie standalone on its own just to bring Superman back. I get that.
Yeah.
But they weren't really counting on making a whole universe out of this so that when everyone just huddled together, they just rushed
everything, yeah.
And that's why it came out the way it did. Batman versus Superman, I don't think we have to really explain this, was a mess. In the sense that it had a lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it just dragged on for a long movie. I mean, you could have split that in half.
Oh, yeah.
And done a better job, and it would have came out better so that he'd give it a few more origin movies, then he got Justice League. That would have been a way better approach.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible? I know this happens at times. I've been in theater and stuff a lot, but when it comes down to the people who actually make a decision, that one group of people is obviously more creative and understanding to what they're doing than another group would be. And I wonder if Warner Brothers, you know, they're great with the animation and stuff, but they just aren't as creative a group in making the final decisions as, say, Disney is.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to agree with that.
I think that's what it is. You know, it's just that you got people who are, I think there's too much, especially nowadays, of looking for the almighty dollar.
Yes.
Number one.
Oh, yeah.
Versus trying to make a good film. I've always said, because, I mean, you look at all the different Batman films that there are.
There's a lot of them.
And there's a lot. So, you know, you got the original two Michael Keatons. Then you have the
Val Kilmer.
Then the next two, which were handed over from... I can't think of the director's name right now. Tim Burton. Over to Joel Schumacher. And that completed those four. Now, there was supposed to be a fifth one.
Was there?
Yeah, but really? That got canned. Because they couldn't agree on a script. They couldn't figure out who was going to come back and blah, blah, blah. And Schumacher just kind of screwed it up a little bit because he made the last one too much like the campy 66 TV show.
And bad nipples.
Yeah. And so... that's why I think a couple of years later, Warner Brothers wanted to revamp it and reboot it and take a little bit more serious look at it. So now that's why you have the Dark Knight trilogy. And even in that storyline, as good as it was shot, the acting is, really well done all the way around. The story got dropped, though, I think, is what happened. Because even when you look at the comic book version... Yes, Gotham City is filled with crime, but these underworld characters happen secretively that the common citizen doesn't know about, except, oh, well, I know the Penguin's a bad guy, and he's been in jail and been let out and gone back to jail. That's pretty much all they know. You know, but for somebody like a character like Bane to come out and to destroy the city and to take over the city, it's too big of a story to happen or to let that happen, you know, in real life, especially if you're going to bring it to real life. You still have to have this mythos about the characters, and they, I think, screwed that up in the last one, is what they did. I mean, I'm a huge Batman fan, and I almost walked out on that film.
Ooh.
That's how bad I thought it was.
Ooh, wow.
You know, so, and then now to, you know, bring back and kind of revamp everything and to do their own version of Justice League, like Zach was saying, with, you know, bringing back Superman and adding the Flash and Ben Affleck's Batman and making him be a part of the Suicide Squad or whatever. The looks, I liked it all overall, but it was just a mishmash. It was thrown, I think, slapped together in ways to try and catch up to what Marvel was doing. And, you know, it's taken them how many films to say what happened to Bruce Wayne. We all now know what happened to Bruce Wayne and why he became the Batman. And I've always said from day one, they should have just called the original film Wayne and told his story, because the thing is that how does he become the Dark Knight? Why does he become the world's greatest detective? And those questions are never answered in any of the movies. We know why he becomes the Batman, because of this omen, the bat crashing through the window in the cave underneath Wayne Manor. But why does he become the world's greatest detective? And that is never explained in any of those films. You know, where's the training gone? Where does he go? But yet, if you watch the animated series, it gives a wonderful explanation in flashbacks of why he becomes an escape artist, why he becomes, you know, why did he study with a magician? Why did he study with this person here? Why did he study with that person? Why did he go over, and where did he learn his technique for martial arts or whatever? You know, it's somewhat answered in Batman Begins, but not to the full intent, though.
He probably watched a lot of the Pink Panther movies.
Yeah, probably. Probably, you know. And that's one thing that they should have done, because, like, you know, we're saying all the stories are laid there out in the comics. There's your storyboard. Just freaking copy it and just do a good job doing it, you know. So now with this other new Batman movie that's supposed to come out or whatever, you know, I don't know how much it's going to be on delay.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, you know, his version or whatever. I mean, I don't know how it's going to be, how it's going to look or whatever. It looks pretty good from the pictures that I've seen, but story-wise or whatever, what they're going to do.
That's really Colin Farrell as a Penguin. I was like, that is insane. Unrecognizable completely.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's they've only brought in the Robin character once. You know, and are they going to tell it properly this time? You know, if they're ever going to bring that character in. And, I mean, there's just so much more that can happen that they haven't even touched upon. Where, again, the animation side has done a beautiful arc of, you know, 12, 15 films that they've just done a wonderful job on. You know, where it's it picks up after the next one, it picks up after the next one, it picks it up, you know, and just do a great job. Just do a wonderful, wonderful job, but... Who knows, Warner Brothers, you guys screwing things up left and right, but that's okay. I'll still watch it and criticize it.
So will I.
Well, there you go.
And we'll still talk about it on this week's show.
Yeah.
And I always learn far more than I ever dreamed of about superheroes.
Exactly.
So. How excited are you about that?
Woo!
That's what I thought.
Well, you know, speaking of experts and everything, since today we are celebrating National Strawberry Day, we figure what better person to have on the show than our own strawberry expert, Milton Babbitt. Milton, how you doing, buddy? Are you there?
Now, honey, you just need to give it a little twist right there. Yeah, just like, oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Sean.
Hey, how you
Sean,
doing, Milton?
Well, I'm doing just fine, Sean. And thank you for having me back on the show. It's been so long since I've heard your lovely voices.
It has, you know. When was the last time you were on? I don't remember.
I think it was during that time when you were trying to get those two hunky men to pay tribute to into the Pornographic Hall of Fame.
You mean the Radio Hall of Fame?
Yes, the Radio Hall of Fame, those two wacky L.A. legends, Marvin and Ryan.
You mean Mark and Ryan?
Yes, Clark and Byron.
Yeah, okay, so anyway, so today you're going to tell us all about the strawberry?
Oh, that's right. Now, you guys there on your weekly toast need an updated edumacation on the strawberry. Yeah, just like that, honey. Just keep... Anyway, for starters, the strawberry is not part of the berry family. You may not believe this, but Not at all. It's really? Not even related to Chuck Berry or his cousin Marvin Berry, that hot smoking sex symbol Halle Berry, or even the F Troop actor Ken Berry. Amber needs to look him up.
Yeah, she probably doesn't know who he is. Yeah.
Sure. Well, anyway, the strawberry is actually a plant and a member of the rose family. You know, Rose, she was on the Titanic and ended up with a coat that had the necklace and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. It's also the descendant of Axl Rose and Gypsy Rose Lee, which is why the seeds for the strawberry are on the outside of the fruit and not on the inside of the fruit, and only puts out every 5 years because that's how long both of these careers lasted. Now, the strawberry plant averages 200 seeds. Can you imagine it, one fell swoop, you had 200 offspring?
Yeah.
Wow. And it's only 135 more points than the Lakers made in the last game.
I believe that, yes.
Actually, that's kind of true. Anyway, I watched that. They haven't been doing well lately. Anyway, the flower of the plant will grow 5 to 7 feet tall with yellow petals. Thus giving it the nickname the Sunshine State.
Got it. Okay.
Americans eat an average of 5 pounds of strawberries each year.
Got the giggles, huh, Milton?
Oh, my God. Yeah, just like that. Like I said, little twit. Oh. Okay. They eat an average of 5 pounds of strawberries each year to make sure that their bowels aren't backed up like the 405 freeway during rush hour. Now, 94% of American households consume the strawberry, while 130% of them smoke it to cover up other odors that they left behind in the bathroom. Now, Belgium...
Kind of like potpourri, then.
That's a little potpourri, yeah.
Poopourri.
Okay. Here's some more information about the infamous strawberry. Belgium has a museum dedicated to Rascally Rabbit where you can not only buy jam and beer, but where you can create your own waffle with a special surprise in the center.
I wonder what kind of special surprise you get.
I'll tell you in a moment.
Okay, got it. You feel okay, Elena?
Yeah. Okay. Now, Native Americans ate strawberries long before the European settlers took over this country and pushed them off their own land and put them on so-called reservations. What? Too soon?
No.
And that's the real history, people.
It's true, it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, ancient Romans thought that strawberries had medical powers. They used to eat them to treat fevers, fainting, bad breath. I could use a strawberry right now. And even kidney stones. Well, you don't want to have them. Passing one of them is the worst thing that ever... That's a story for another day. They would chop up the berry and roll their... I've been watching too many Hot in Cleveland blooper reels.
Yeah, you have.
Okay, where
bend her over?
Where the hell? That's my screen name. Okay. I'll just start here. Ancient Romans thought that strawberries had medical powers. They used them to treat fevers, fainting, bad breath. This sounds familiar. Like I heard that somewhere before. Even kidney stones.
Like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, they would chop up the berry and roll their own cigarettes with it and pass it around while playing music. Thus, the music of the Doobie Berry Brothers was created and history was made.
The Doobie Berry Brothers. I like that.
I got to read these beforehand.
No, I don't think so. This is pretty damn good.
Now, in France, strawberries were believed to have aphrodisiac qualities, which is why when you purchase a basket of strawberries, every basket came with its own lube sample pack and a dozen Trojan extra thin condoms. Trojan. Feels like nothing's really there. Ah, but it is.
Sound like someone was spitting behind you.
Those French know how to party. The flavor of strawberries are influenced by weather, variety, ripeness when harvested, and when exactly red number 9, 10% fruit juice. I said it, I'm sticking by it. And other artificial flavors are introduced at the precise moment. And lastly, finally, every plant is hand-picked every 3 days, which is how often I go see Young Me Love You Long Time at the massage parlor. Or that she's here with me now.
It was the third day, huh?
Yeah, we mentioned you on air. right there. All right. For the full release of relaxation, and believe me, that's a happy ending.
Yeah, exactly, Milton. Thanks so much, buddy. Good to hear your voice, man.
Totally my pleasure. Oh, yeah. Oh,
God. Oh, always good to hear Milton. I liked it. I like it when he laughs because he's reading the script for the first time.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, something we came across the other day, we were trying to do it last week. We didn't get a chance to do it, though. But it was I thought it was really interesting on what people thought about the most trusted celebrities. And you have that list, right, Steve?
Yes, I do.
As he's trying to blow his nose.
I know.
Got a little boogie hanging out.
Okay. Mm.
Segway, right. Steve, segue.
There we go. Now.
Now? Are you sure now?
Now.
Not right, now.
I'm ready to read it
when
now.
When is now happening, Steve?
What? Soon. Okay. Am I on? Oh, yeah. There we go.
I don't know. Are we? Hello? Hello?
Now that I've caught my breath, I'm ready to talk about the most trustworthy celebrities in the world. Now, this is by Ranker.com.
Okay, so who would you trust
who
the
would
most?
You trust.
Oh, God,
now, that's
so
a trustworthy. That's a general term. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you thought they would really be a
straight up kind of person,
yeah, kind, down to earth.
Yeah, you know, I would say George Clooney's got to be in that mix. Is he in there?
Nope.
No. Really?
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
What has he done lately? I don't remember.
I know he's been more producing stuff, I think, yeah, overall. Anyway. Meryl Streep?
Yeah. Nope.
No, not.
I'm surprised since you made up the list that your first two guesses are not on it.
I forgot what the list was, so... who was on it? I really don't.
Okay, let me read you number 10.
Okay.
Dolly Parton.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I trust her.
Yeah.
She is a very straight-up, stand-up woman. Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people, she thinks she's twice as trustworthy as everyone else.
Or four times as much.
Okay, number 9.
That's a boob reference, everybody.
Really?
Big boob.
You big boob. Number 9 is Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, he does come off as being a nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty straight up.
Yeah, I would say so.
Now, here's the first one I look at and I go, yes, definitely, and that's Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
I trust him all the way.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite actresses, Helen Mirren, is number 7.
Really?
Yeah, she's pretty cool. She's done some great stuff.
Yeah, but would you trust her is the question, though. Would you, I mean,
she seems to be really honest when she acts, and I think she, you know.
Ah, but see, it's an act, though.
Well, yeah, but a lot of times, I think she's one of the few that she really is that honest.
Mm-hmm.
But off stage and on stage.
And that's just it. They would have to be the same way, or more so off stage than on stage.
And of course, this is all perception anyway.
Right,
so.
Right.
Now, number 6.
I wouldn't trust the bitch.
I don't know. Number 6, I guess so. Keanu Reeves.
You know, I would say of lately, yes, because some of the things that he's been doing and the way he's been doing it, absolutely. Especially some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that he's been, I definitely would.
Okay, we have 5 left. Anybody think of someone yet?
Andrew Christopher, anybody you could think of?
I could think of somebody, but I'm going to shave it for later.
You're going to shave it?
Shave it for later.
You're going through puberty.
Okay, here's someone who now is extremely old, but he's still doing some cool stuff, and he's very honest with the stuff he does, and a lot of women just love him.
Why do they love him?
I think it might be his accent and his unique look and...
An accent?
Yeah, and he was in...
That's attractive
something
to
very
women?
Famous. Mm. Patrick Stewart.
Oh.
Number 5.
I can kind of see that.
Charles Xavier.
I have a lot of female friends who just... they drip every time.
I can kind of like, wow, hello.
Wow.
And he's also aged very well too. I think he's like,
yes.
I think he's gotten more a little bit more notoriety, but I would put him up there with Sean Connery.
Yeah, Sean.
I really would. I really would. Yeah.
Appreciate that, Sean.
Now, number 4 is someone who is a great actor and stuff, but we know him for his voice.
So mainly a voice actor.
His very deep voice.
James Earl Jones.
That's it.
Wow.
Number 4.
Number 4.
James Earl Jones, yeah. Now, number 3 is someone who was... He's always been great, but he unfortunately caught a debilitating disease, and... But he's a great guy.
They usually are.
From Spin City.
Oh,
Michael J. Fox.
That's it.
Yeah.
Number 3.
I would absolutely trust that man. That man was my idol when I was going through high school.
Yeah.
I looked up to his character, Alex P. Keaton, the way he dressed and stuff. And I just kind of figured, you know, if he could dress that way, and I'm talking about Michael as a person, go out and dress a certain way, then why can't I? And I kind of copied his style through that period of time.
And that was a good choice.
Yeah,
good choice.
Great guy. Oh, God. Yeah.
Now, number 2 and number 1. Number 2 is a woman, and number 1 is a man. And they're probably 2 of the most Main Street people in entertainment right now.
Okay. I think I know who number 1 is.
Mm-hmm.
He's very revered.
Mm-hmm.
He can do anything.
Anything.
He's done comedy.
Mm-hmm.
He's done the serious.
Mm-hmm.
He's produced.
Mm-hmm.
He's directed. I'm going to say Tom Hanks.
That's it. Number 1 is Tom Hanks. Now, number 2 is somebody we all talk about a lot. I talk about her.
Meryl Streep.
No, not on the list.
Oh, wow.
We talk about
that. Not that shocking.
Margaret Cho. No. Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. We talk about her an awful lot. Who do we trust? Is she a redhead?
No.
Oh, okay. Blonde.
I can't remember if she was or not. She's really old now.
Now.
She's still working.
I think I have an idea.
Right.
Just because of those clues, I'm thinking Betty White.
That's it.
Oh, absolutely.
Number 2. I love her to no end, and I'm always, like I say, watching Hot in Cleveland blooper reels and stuff, and she is
so good,
so funny. So
yeah,
but that's our most trustworthy celebrities.
Betty White and Tom Hanks were at the top of the list.
Yeah, and that's in the world, not just United States.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you have Patrick Stewart in there too. So
yes,
absolutely cool. That's a good list, actually, by Ranker.
That is.
I would definitely trust those people with. Yeah, we gotta try and get some of those people on the air.
We do.
That'd be nice. Oh man, God, can you imagine? Could get James Earl Jones. Hello.
To hear that voice coming out of it, like we're really talking to him.
I am your father.
Whoa!
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's really him. Yeah. That'd be neat. That would be kind of cool. Well, you know, millennials are, I think, a very unusual group of people because they're right in that in-between stage with technology and everything, you know. So today is actually Retro Day. I thought it'd be kind of cool to go over certain things that most millennials have never heard of.
That's why I wore this old smelly T-shirt. It's retro day.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I did pick a song for you there, Zach. So millennials are people who are born between 1981 and 1997. Right now, they're between the ages of 24 and 40 years old this year. Of course, many millennials aren't familiar with some of the technological and cultural relics from the early eras. And I think some of this is going to hit deep with Steve. First one, green stamps.
Yeah, there was also a lesser known stamp at the same time called IT stamps.
Ah,
so
okay.
You combine them together, you get a lot of crap.
Great.
Cool. That was, Steve, that was a great story.
Well, you had to know because, see, S and H was the stores you had to go to.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
See, I'll be the millennial in this conversation.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because you were born right at that, right?
Yep, 86.
86, so that's okay. So, obviously, have you ever heard of green stamps?
No.
Okay.
Hence my sarcastic response.
Okay, all right. What about this one? The 8-inch floppy disk or the 3.5 floppy disk?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you've heard of those. Okay.
Yeah, I had to use those a couple times.
Tab soda?
Oh, yeah.
I know what it is. I never tried it, though.
Doesn't exist anymore, though.
You know what's funny? There's one store that it might exist.
Where?
My dad's local grocery store. It's like a small mini mart store in Lucerne Valley.
Wow.
And they would have, dude, they had Jolt Cola.
Oh my God, I remember Jolt.
Yeah, so I think Tab might still pop up over there.
Okay, I think the only reference I know of Tab is in the movie Back to the Future.
Did he get a tab, sir?
Well, he asked for it. He goes, well, okay, give me a tab. He goes, well, hey, buddy, give me a tab. You got to order something.
Oh, that's right. How sad. I really should know that. It's like one of my favorite movies. Anyway.
Okay.
The time has come.
Yeah.
Really? All right. Gee, many crickets. All right. Okay. Ricky Nelson.
Oh, that sounds really familiar.
Okay. Now, okay, let me ask you this, though, Zach. Being a millennial yourself and everything, has there been a lot of cultural things that you've learned by being the producer of this show? That you go, I had no idea that thing existed or that person was around or whatever, and you've learned about that person because of the show?
I don't think I'd go that far. Cultural things, maybe a little bit, especially having Amber, Amber around because me and her became really close and I learned a lot about pronouns, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to certain people, you don't say he or she. It's more like a they or them. I'm just like, okay, that's something I definitely had to get used to.
But I'm talking about like things that we've talked about on the show. Like, for example, Rick Nelson. Have you heard of Rick Nelson before you were on the show?
Wow, I totally missed the point of that, didn't I?
Yeah.
No. I swear the name sounds familiar, but I might be thinking of somebody else.
Okay, all right. She would probably know.
I'm so sorry for everyone hearing that. I thought that was what he was trying to ask me.
No. Okay. Okay. This is something I never had to deal with. I think Steve has had, but slide rules. I didn't ever have to deal with slide rules in school.
Slide reels?
Rules.
I don't know, basically,
it was like a ruler,
uh-huh.
And then you would move certain things around or whatever to help calculate your math problems.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
Slide rule. Yeah.
That sounds absolutely horrifying.
No, I never had to deal with it, though. Okay, what about, I don't think you've ever dealt with this, but automates.
An
automate was a restaurant with coin-operated vending machines. So where you would get your food from it, it would be on a big carousel.
Oh, like, a gas station or something?
No. And you would, like, select, like, your meal, maybe a sandwich or, like, a roast beef or something, whatever. And you would put your money in and then push the button and open it up, and there's your food. And that's how some restaurants were.
Mm-mm. Nope. That sounds like something I may have seen in a hospital one time.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But as far as that being, like, a thing, no, not aware of that.
All right. Needing a key to roller skate.
A key to roller skate?
Yeah.
Hmm. Could you please elaborate that?
So, years ago, the roller skates were adjustable, and they would go on your shoe. So you would need a key to loosen and tighten it.
Didn't know it required a key.
Right, versus, let's say, going to a roller rink and getting the rentals.
No, oh, God, that's annoying.
Right. Steve, slide rules? Did you ever deal with slide rules when you were in school?
Yeah. Okay. They didn't, like early on, calculators weren't quite mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about automates? Do you remember those as a kid?
Automates?
Yeah. Or automats?
Automats. Oh, yeah, automats. Yeah, that's more of an English thing, though, than an American thing.
Well, we had them here, though.
We had them here.
Okay. All right. Miss Magazine.
Miss?
Mm-hmm. It was a publication that came out in 1970, written and edited by women and promoting feminism and socio-political activism, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I did not have to do this in gym, but did you? The rope climb.
Oh, yes. Nope. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I didn't have to do it either.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
It's an upper strength thing.
Right. Okay. This I remember, though, and I thought it was stupid then. I think it's stupid now. Pet rocks.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Oh, I didn't experience it, but I get the gag.
Yeah.
I've seen old pictures and videos of it.
One of those things at the right time came out with a unique idea, and everybody went, oh, yeah.
And people bought it for whatever reason.
He made millions.
He did. Okay. This I didn't know existed, though, but I know that they delivered it, but milk chutes.
Milk chutes?
Chutes?
Yeah.
Like chutes and ladders?
I don't know what chutes is, but they used to deliver milk.
They used to deliver. Well, I guess some homes, possibly in the Midwest or back east, had chutes, so it was easier for the milkman to deliver, and then he would pull your empty bottles out of the chutes and then put the milk in. So some homes had that. Yeah. I don't ever remember them being here in Southern California, though.
Yeah, when I was a kid, there were several things that were still delivered when I was young. Like one of my dad's friends owned the ice franchise in town up there in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, when I was like five, I'd ride around on the ice truck as he delivered it to homes that didn't have refrigerators. They had ice boxes.
Okay.
And then there'd milk delivery, and then there was also baked goods, Helms Bakery.
Yeah. Okay. This we've talked about numerous times. I think we talked about it last week. Sea monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. duck and cover drills.
Oh, God. Don't get me started on that. You know.
See, for us, we didn't have that, but we did have, of course, the earthquake drills and the fire drills.
Right.
But the duck and cover, yeah, never.
Yeah. Like if a nuclear weapon went off close to you and you
duck and cover.
You got under a desk. That's going to save your ass.
Right. Exactly. Okay. The great format wars. So, of course, cassettes became the preferred form over for portable audio versus 8-tracks.
Mm.
And then, of course, Betamax lost out to VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Betamax was reported that to have better video and sound quality, but the reason why VHS won out was thanks to its larger storage capacity, which I didn't know, and also more lightweight machinery.
I seem to remember you guys had a Betamax.
No.
You didn't?
Mm.
I thought that was the kind of VCR you had back when I first started learning to play Halo over your house. I thought we watched a movie and
no, still had oh. still regular VHS. Still, yeah. Yeah, all right. I think only a few people will remember this, but Sid and Marty Krofft, HR Puff and Stuff.
I didn't get into it, but I remember it.
Yeah, and I can tell Zach is zoning out right now.
Yeah,
and none of these ring a bell for you, do they?
Nope.
Okay. Battle of the Network Stars.
I remember that.
They tried to bring it back recently, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that. Jill Whelan was on it, our friend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. TV stations actually signing off for the night.
Yeah, at times you lay on the couch asleep and then with the TV on, and then suddenly, yeah. And you'd look up.
That I kind of do remember.
This color pattern.
Yeah, and a little kid. The TV got left on or something. It would just be that, the colored keyboard.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was also the symbol with the Native American
on it. That was the 50s one. Yeah,
that was way back.
Yeah, and it stayed that like that all night long until Saturday morning, and all of a sudden, hey kids, what time is it?
And you wake up again.
How do you do any time? Alrighty.
Oh yeah.
Getting film developed.
Oh yeah, that was like.
Did you ever have to go through that?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God, yeah. Especially, I used to have a Kodiak camera.
Okay.
Kodak camera.
Or a Kodiak camera.
Or a Kodiak. Or a Kodiak. Kodiak Mountain camera. Okay.
Answering machines.
Yep.
We still have them.
Still do.
Yeah. A lot of people still do.
Yeah, I mean, like.
I know Debbie and Neil have one. They have a landline.
Yeah,
even.
We still have a landline. And, so, of course, yeah, there's a built-in answering machine there. Of course, now, today, we call it a voicemail.
Yeah, well. You
know, whatever.
It's a machine. It's a machine.
Yeah. Laser discs.
I remember those.
Do you remember those?
Yeah, those are really cool, but they just weren't.
They didn't last very long.
Yeah, no, they didn't
last long because they were cumbersome and expensive.
They were about as big as a record.
Yeah.
Basically, it was what it was, and it was a movie. You know, so instead of having a VHS or the Betamax, you had the Laserdisc, and the quality was supposed to be so much clearer, and, you know, the sound so much better and everything, you know. Of course, now they're called DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but the bigger version was a laser disc.
Way smaller now.
Yeah, a lot smaller. All right. Choose your own adventure books.
I've heard of that. I've never had anything to do with
it. I read some of those. All right. Dial-up modems. Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever deal with a dial-up modem?
Yeah.
Did you really, Zach?
Yeah. Okay. I remember it vividly. I can recreate the freaking sound. That's how vivid I remember it.
Alrighty. What about graphic EQs, graphic equalizers?
Oh, I remember having stereo systems, and you'd put that.
You add it on.
You could adjust it up and down and stuff. It played a part in Risky Business.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, now here's a list of actors or musicians or even characters that millennials do not know this day. And let's see how many you don't know also, Zach. Mark Knopfler.
Mm-mm.
Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Yes, he is the director, producer of most of the Wayans Brother movies.
Okay. Judge Reinhold.
Fast Times.
I was in a movie with Judge Reinhold. Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did tell me about that.
Promised a Miracle.
Okay. Earlier we talked about Ricky Nelson. How about the band Nelson?
No.
No. Okay. Those were actually Ricky's sons. Lauren Holly, actress Lauren Holly.
Jim Carrey was married to her.
Okay. Nick from Family Ties, played by Scott Valentine.
Mm-mm.
No? Okay. Dabney Coleman. Wow. And you and I are going.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cybill Shepherd.
Yes.
Oh, Last Picture Show.
I want to say Taxi Driver.
Moonlighting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dave Faustino.
Wasn't that Bud from Married with Children?
That is correct. Yeah. Yeah. Mikhail Gorbachev.
Why do I know that? That one, no.
No, okay.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Yeah. Ross Perot.
Oh, yeah, and he tried to run for president a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He was another billionaire like our last president.
Yeah. Taylor Dane.
That rings a bell, but I can't think of what.
Singer. She's a singer.
Oh, a singer. Okay, never mind.
Okay. And, okay, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yeah.
Marky Mark.
Mark Wahlberg. Of course, now a good, a great actor. Mm. All right, last one. MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit.
I know who MC Hammer is.
But you haven't heard, you've never heard
no,
of that song.
Too Legit. Not that song.
You want to pull it up real quick?
Yeah.
MC Hammer.
Let's see how he likes this one.
Do, do, do.
This interlude brought to you by the men at your weekly dose. That's right.
May God have mercy on their souls.
Your weekly dose. Your weekly dose
of dose.
Comedy. Mayhem.
Action. Morphine.
And
scruples.
Scruples.
You never heard this.
I'm never going to be able to unhear it. Oh, wow. I just press hard. Change formats. Going for the dream that I have in store in my mind. But I know that I'm making it. I got to get money. Nobody's taking it away. No. Because Hammer don't play that. You're trying to get mine, boy. You better step back, freeze. Because you don't want me. No wonder they brought him back for commercial stuff.
Yeah, this was actually his second biggest hit after.
Wow.
It was the second right after
Hammer
he
Time?
Did
was
Hammer Time.
Time.
Yeah. Can't touch this. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved how they got him to do the Cheetos commercial.
Can't touch this.
Can't tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, and it's stuff. Interesting because I mean that's the way I think some of these millennials are only going to go. Well, who's that?
Yeah.
And why and you got to look it up and you kind of go, you know, go down the rabbit hole basically is what it is.
Mm.
So, all right. You know what these people need right now?
A little class.
A little culture.
Something we like to call
pocket-sized cinema.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And welcome to Pocket Size Cinema. Today's feature is entitled The Enchanted Forest. The Enchanted Forest. The Enchanted Forest. We open when a husband and a wife were out on the forest mushroom picking. The husband thought he found a mushroom and picked it up. To his disappointment, it was an ordinary rock. Enraged, he threw it. After he threw it, he heard some glass breaking. The pair rushed over to see what it was, what actually broke, and found a shack in the forest. A man in a very bright clothing came out. Let's pick up the action here, shall we? Sit back, relax, and enjoy... The Enchanted Forester.
Oh, God. I'm very sorry that I broke your window. I'll pay for everything.
There's no need. For you see, I am a genie. And what you broke was a vase that I was stuck in. So, thank you. And I'll grant you two wishes. For free me from that horrible cage.
Only two wishes? Well, traditionally, genies grant three wishes.
Well, you know, cutbacks from the genie union, you know.
Well, right off, we want $1 million and a house in every city in the world.
Granted. Now, I think you owe me a favor for granting you that wish.
What favor?
I should make love to your wife for granting you those wishes. The wife and husband debated whether or not they should agree. They eventually did. The husband was sitting outside while listening to his wife and the genie's lovemaking. When they finished, the genie asked the husband a question. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Oh, you're man.
Yeah, I'm a man. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
narrator, man, husband.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and ask me the question again.
Oh, okay. Hey. Can I ask you a question?
You just did.
May I ask you another?
Two questions.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
All right. How old are you both?
We're both 40.
Amazing. You're both 40 and still believe in fairy tales.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah. I had no idea where that was going.
Well, you know, quickly, let's do a what's news.
What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa.
this one, you know, there are stories we get, and sometimes they just really write themselves. A Nashville woman is finally arrested after being caught performing oral sex three times on the same guy.
Wow. I'll be damned.
Let's continue on. Welcome to Nashville, everybody. Cops were finally fed up with Sarah Ratzloff. Allegedly, she was blowing a guy for the third time in one night and arrested for her indecent exposure after finding her blowing the guy in the doorway of the Tequila Cowboy on Broadway.
Kind of out in the open there.
Pretty much, yeah.
I love
and
it
I kind of know
happens.
What the Tequila Cowboy is. I've been on Broadway. So right now, Nashville bars are pretty much on lockdown, so there's no telling where Mrs. Ratzloff and her man were hanging out that night besides in doorways doing certain sex acts. So apparently, I guess they didn't have a place to quarantine or anything. So cops caught her blowing this guy three times that night. So they just kept moving around, I guess, is what happened. The streets are pretty much empty, and Sarah can't even blend into the doorway at all. So, and basically, you have to assume that the cops were there. They didn't originally want to give her a ticket, you know, and going to jail considering, you know, she might be carrying COVID. They were unsure. So, basically, she was given a warning the first time and received a state misdemeanor citation the second time. And then she was issued a citation for the fourth time and third time, and then basically arrested, saying, like, okay, if you can't get out, you know, whatever, then we're gonna have to finally.
Yeah, they invited her back to the precinct.
Pretty much, and took her and booked her and took her into custody and, yeah, transported her to booking. It's like, come on, lady.
Hey.
Really?
I've learned in my years that there are women that they get that way, and I don't care where they are.
But, yeah, find a place, nonetheless, secluded.
Not in
a doorway of a bar.
Yeah. Or a condo in Huntington Beach.
Or a pool in Santa Barbara.
Yeah. Hi, Chuck. Yeah, let us get out of your way.
Or a massage parlor in Garden Grove.
Yeah. Well.
Or a walk-in closet in Yorba Linda.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
Good times, everyone. Right?
Okay. Now, the one I have here is a very big human interest story.
Okay.
And the headline is, dancer falls off stripper pole, breaks her jaw, but she keeps on twerking.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, you have an actual recording of it.
That's pretty
cool. Dallas stripper Jenea Sky fell fell 10 feet off of a stripper pole during a performance last weekend. She suffered a broken jaw. That relates back to the other story, I guess. A few other injuries, but she kept twerking and has become a viral sensation for her ability to go on when adversity struck while on the pole. According to GoFundMe that was created for Jenea, the club, Ecstasy Cabaret, where the fall occurred would not cover her medical bills, so her friend started a $20,000 goal fund, and it currently sits at over $30,000. And this is what Jenea had to say on Instagram.
Okay.
Today has been a very long day. My surgery went well. My jaw is currently wired shut, so please refrain from calling me as of right now.
Man.
And, excuse me, bear with me on replies because my phone hasn't stopped blowing up. Everyone's love and kind words have not gone unnoticed whatsoever, and it means so much to me that all of you have blessed me and uplifted me in so many ways. I am overwhelmed in the best way by all the support. I was really nervous as this all started blowing up because people are cruel and this is a very sensitive time for me. But I never imagined so many people would stand behind me in a situation like this, and that has outweighed all the negativity by far. I am beyond grateful for all of you. I am in a tremendous amount of pain, but I am ready for this road to recovery. I'm already for this road to recovery so I can get back on my life. I will continue to update everyone over the course of my recovery, but thank you once again for everything.
Wow. A 10-foot fall. So that means she had to be pretty high on the pole.
And she must have been upside down because she broke her jaw.
Yeah.
Messed up her jaw and stuff. So I can imagine hitting the ground like that, but then keep going.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, in all joking aside, some of those girls are very talented on that pole. It takes an awful lot of strength.
Oh, yeah.
So if she lost her grip or something or whatever, I'm surprised the bar didn't help pay for anything.
Yeah,
because
not. I guess that's just...
wouldn't that be almost like a workman's comp? No.
Here, you guys
want to
see it? You got it right here.
Did you find it?
Got it right here.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I would imagine it's an independent contractor problem.
Oh, shoot.
What? Oh. There you go.
There we go. Okay.
On the big monitor. Here
oh, my goodness. She's up.
Oh, yeah. She is really high. That looks more like 15, 20 feet.
Oh. Oh.
Okay, that one slid down. That was a girl below her. And then she's doing her thing. Yeah, she's really up.
Wow, there's no audio.
Oh!
There you go.
Oh, yeah. And there she is in doggy position. And
immediately went it. Yeah.
Wow.
Kept going.
Just keep on going.
Oh, wow.
And well, I like how there's 1 second of audio in there. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. We gotta post that link.
Yeah. There are things on Fail Army on YouTube and stuff that are of strippers who fall off poles or amateurs who are using a pole and the pole breaks or they fall and stuff. And it's like, you know, that's dangerous.
Especially when you weigh like 300 pounds and you're trying to do it in your living room or whatever. It's like, come on, you think that thing's really going to hold you?
Some of the amateurs is kind of, it's funny, but not, you know.
Wow, that was a hard fall. That was more than 10 feet. That looked like more like...
She hit in her face, just went straight in the ground.
Yeah, right on that stage. And that looked more like 20 feet to me, really. Well, you know, since Amber isn't here, we got another one here about an Ohio woman.
Wow.
Ohio. A cop's arrested an Ohio woman for twerking in traffic.
Oh, it kind of relates to the last story.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the Amber antithesis.
Does that? I wasn't aware.
We're just talking about these crazy women, you know, since Amber's not here. So, a Toledo, Ohio cop had himself a big Monday last week when he arrested Miss Asia Hughes for allegedly twerking in traffic and using a utility pole for her own stripper pole, turning a busy Toledo intersection into a traffic hazard as drivers had to navigate around a twerking machine. According to the police report, the 27-year-old was wearing thong shorts with her buttocks exposed and causing alarm to onlookers.
So was it night? The moon was out.
Pretty much, but it was actually 3:37 p.m. last Monday.
I see.
And she was arrested for disorderly conduct while doing her thing. And the sergeant said upon arriving, he observed the defendant dancing on a utility pole in a provocative manner.
Oh, my.
And the defendant also entered the roadway and began twerking, causing vehicles to stop or swerve to avoid striking her. So, a lot of crazy women out there.
Why can't I meet them?
Well, you got to go.
Did I say that out loud?
Well, you got to go to Ohio, Dallas, and wherever that first one was.
I've been to Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, that's not too far, man. Hop, skip, and a jump from Toledo.
Or is it Cleveland, Ohio?
One of them.
I never remember. Whichever one's up there on the lake.
Jeez.
I was there in business.
Well, that's what's news, guys.
What's news, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's news, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Ah, yes. Well, that's the show for us today, guys. We thank you for joining us, as always. And don't forget, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Wednesday morning through Friday morning. And on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Friday. I'd like to thank our affiliates and our syndication guys and having us there with them. And hopefully everybody is trying to stay warm in those states. It's cold. Yeah, exactly. So, try to stay warm.
Hey, Steve, where are you at?
What?
Oh. You know, the social media things, what people
do. I'll do. I got it.
Oh, usually you go first. So
okay. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, find us on Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram. Please follow us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
Hey, if you want to follow me for my almost once a week information.
Which almost.
Is, yeah.
So I didn't do it today. Anyway, on Facebook, it's Steve Silva. And on Twitter, it's at
SilvaLining69. And I'm Zombie Mel Gibson on Instagram.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on any social media, it's just simply Sean R. Unplugged. Simple as that. So, anyway, guys, for those who are in those colder states, again, try and stay warm, everybody. We know you guys are going through an awful lot. For everybody else, stay cool.
It's a pretty day here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go out and enjoy. Head out to Woodland Hills right now. Kind of a little anniversary surprise for my wife, so I'm kind of excited what's going to happen. In the meantime, be good to each other, and we will catch you next week.
Keep on twerking, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.